chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. So it's pretty short. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is the word of the Lord.
So we now acknowledge that we have the rightness with God. We can be right with God. But we also have an opportunity now to express the fact that we can be right with one another. And a prophetic statement of saying that actually we will be at peace with one another as we are family together in the kingdom of God. So let's say these words together. I'll say the ones in the white. If you say the ones in the yellow, that'd be great. So the peace of Christ be always with you. Kia tau tonu toranga marie. O te ariki ki a koutou. So let's keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So traditionally what we do at All Saints is we all stand up and we greet one another and we bless one another an act of the peace of Christ and that prophetic statement. Can I just ask that for this morning, there's a lot going on, if you could stand and actually just greet and bless one another with the peace of Christ with those who are sitting around you would be really helpful rather than wandering all around the building. Okay, if you'd like to do that now, that'd be great. Please stand. Long time. This is part of us as a parish being on mission together. And although City Mission in itself is a separate identity, we are so interlinked and joined of being part of All Saints and other Anglican churches in the city. So this is a space that we wanted to grow. And so we reshaped the City Mission into the City Mission and have been and looking at expanding what we already do, which is we do some incredible things with the elderly. We do incredible things with young families in our space program, with ex-refugees and all those sort of things. So there are lots of things that are going on, and this is an opportunity that we wanted to see us grow into that space in our city. So this is a really significant opportunity for us. And we are just absolutely thrilled with the fact that Franco has joined us on the team and will lead us into that space. So can I please invite Justin and Franco to come forward as we go through this part of the service. Thank you.
Kia ora koutou katoa, ka mihi nui ki a koutou, ka mihi ki te whānau o Franco, mihi nui, mihi nui, mihi nui. Hey, it's great to be here. So good. I don't know about you fellas, but it feels like we just had Christmas, now we're on to Lent. I don't know what happened there, eh? I'm blaming climate change. That's all I'm saying. Hey, this is so good. By the way, I think when I was young, we used to call this Dapper. Very dapper. And by the way, I also know quite a few City Missioners. I know the Wellington and the Whanganui one, and you're by far the best dressed of the City Missioners. Okay, so well done, you fellas. Well done. Well, it's quite a reputation, I tell you what. Yeah, I mean, I'm obviously your dress sense. Look at me. By the way, his shoes are amazing as well, aren't they? They're good shoes. Okay. All right, Franco, it's my pleasure to commission you. So I'm going to say some words. You're going to say some words. Yep. And as a family, feel free to join in when necessary. Franco, we welcome you as you come to be commissioned as a City Missioner of Palmerston North. As City Missioner of Palmerston North, your ministry will include providing spiritual leadership within the life of the city, encouraging all to see God as present deep in its midst, preaching the word of God and building up the body of Christ, speaking words of justice and peace to all God's people, challenging unjust structures within our society, collaborating with others to uplift the last, the lost, and the least as an echo of God's love, and to be a steward of the people and the resources of the City Mission. Are you willing to accept these responsibilities as City Missioner of Palmerston North?
I am, trusting in God's help.
Great. Now, can I invite Xandra and the family to come up as well and to join Franco? This is your chance, team, family. Gosh. Great family. There we go. I'm just checking the shoes. Good Crocs. Like that. Good shoes. Yep. Your shoe just broke. That's good. Good Crocs there. You're doing well. Nice silver shoes. I like a family that has good shoe sense. We recognize that when we offer ourselves in ministry, we bring our families with us into that space. We give thanks for the gift of Xandra, Franco's partner in life, and their family for the gift they give us in Franco. We also celebrate his ministry and place in the mission whānau. Now, I might get you, Andrew, can I get you to hold this for me when you can? We keep stillness as we rest in the Holy Spirit's presence and commission Franco in prayer. So in a moment, I'm going to lay hands on Franco. I'm going to pray for him. And then at the end of that, I'm going to anoint him with oil as well. So let us pray. God of mountains, lakes, and city streets, who calls us to see the holy in the humdrum and recognize the divine spark in every face we see, we commission Franco now into this holy calling as city missioner of Palmerston North. Be with him as he accepts this new challenge. Give him strength, perseverance, and the humor he will need to follow your call and speak your truth. May he know your presence and ours, supportive and uplifting, encouraging him on and guarding his back on the easy days and the rough ones, in his work and in our prayers. These things we pray in the name of Christ who came to serve and calls us by name. Amen.
So what we would like to do is we'd just like to encourage those of us from the family of All Saints and anyone else that would like to come and support Franco. We're going to gather around him and we're going to lay hands on him. And we're just going to pray for him as well. So if you would like to come and join us, definitely any of those people in City Mission who want to come in, but actually anyone who knows Franco who would like to come and make a bit of a mess up here, please come forward. And it's a bit untidy, so if you're visiting with us, I'm really sorry, but this is kind of us just trying to honour and be family well together. If there's two or three that would like to pray out loud, that would be fantastic.
So, Franco, when I was praying for you over the last couple of weeks, Exodus 33 came to me, and it's about Moses, and I'm not saying you're Moses at all, and I know that we live in the New Testament times, but it was just that scripture. Moses said to the Lord, "Now show me your glory," and I just looked at the context of the scripture and just the huge load on you of facilitating the city mission and the enormity of it, and that you're just a man in the end. And so Moses had said to the Lord, "What else will distinguish me from your and your people from all other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." And then Moses goes on to say, "Show me your glory, Lord." And I just know that when you cry out to God and know that you're only a human being, only a believer, that the Lord will show you his glory, even in the hardest times of your being city missioner. And I just know that the transcendence of God in your life will enable you to bear the mantle of the job.
Lord, we just give you thanks for Franco, that you have lifted him up into this place. And Lord, we pray for your Holy Spirit to be poured out on him, that he might have your wisdom, Lord, to discern the hurt and the lost, the last in our city, in our community. And you, and that he might have your heart, Lord, for those people, and that he might show your heart to those people with love and compassion and service. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Lord, as we bless Franco, we also ask that you bless Sandra as she will support him in this role. Well, Lord, we ask that for both of them to have your love and your wisdom just outpoured on them in a mighty, mighty way, that your glory might be found in this city. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for Franco's willingness to step into your call. And so we stand and we stand with this man. And we say, would you give him the heartbeat of God? Would you allow him to see as you see? Would you allow him to be the person you've called him to be? So we say we stand with you. We say, Lord, would you have your way with this man? Would you allow him to go into the places that no one else is able to go, that you would allow him great favor in his role? And we ask that not so that we can grow the city mission, but so we can grow the kingdom of God. So we can see your love spread across the city. So we can see people's lives transformed with your love as we serve and care for them. And it's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Fantastic. Kids, you've done so well. Did you like a suit? Dapper. I've never been called dapper in my life. And there's good reason. Children and young people, if you'd like to go to your programs, if you're visiting with us, if you go out to the foyer area, someone will scoop you up and tell you in the right place to go. Have fun, Dan. Don't eat all the M&Ms. Very good. And with that, can I invite Justin to come and share the Word of God with us this morning? Can I pray for you as you come, mate? Lord, we thank you for Justin. We thank you for his heart for your church. We thank you for the man that he is. We thank you for his role. But Lord, we ask today, would you anoint him, give him words of life for us, and that we would have ears to hear. In Jesus' name I pray.
Kia ora anō. I don't know about you fellas, but I had a great summer. Jenny and myself, we specialise in really having good summer holidays, so we just forget about everything else, and this time with our adult kids, we kayaked the Abel Tasman, which was wonderful, and we actually had done it 33 years ago on our honeymoon, so it was nice to go back with our kids and to kayak it again as them being adults. So I just, when I ever have a summer holiday, I just sort of forget about the world. I don't engage with sort of news feeds or anything like that. And of course, at the end of summer, I then got my yearly bout of COVID again, as you will do. You know, one more time, you get COVID. Good way to start the year. But it was really, for me, it was pretty challenging, actually, once I did start to re-engage. Because what I did is, I remember I was at home, and often Jenny and myself, normally we would watch a delayed coverage of TV1, maybe late at night, might be the last thing we do before we go to bed. We'd watch a delayed coverage of TV1 news. So I hadn't watched it for about a month, and I put it on. And this was only a few weeks ago, and gosh, it was overwhelming, eh? Like Israel-Gaza, oh my goodness. You know, when you think of the civilian casualties and the children casualties, I mean, I don't know if you know, but there's more civilian and children casualties than there are in Ukraine war. No, so many more children and civilians. And then Ukraine continues on. And then it was, when I watched the news, it was just sort of between Ratana and the Waitangi and our own internal politics in this country. And it was like, oof. And we won't even mention the climate change, et cetera, issues. And I just sort of, I watched the news and I honestly was overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed and I just thought, I want to go back to the Abel Tasman. I want to go back to kayaking, eh? I just found it so overwhelming because I just had detoxed from it from about a month. And what I notice is when you kind of got a couple of choices that I notice in everyday people, and in myself included. One choice is you just get really angry and join a side. You know, that's one choice. Another choice is you just put your head in the sand and act like it doesn't even exist and just numb yourself to death with entertainment of some sort or the other. Or the third choice is you just lose hope. And you just sort of, it's just hopeless and you end up in a sort of nihilistic sort of hopelessness of life. And so I was really impacted when Franco chose these passages in Colossians 3 to sort of centre his commissioning around. And so in light of what I've just said about the global context, this is what we've said, this is what we're called to do. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. That is not what TV One News says. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. It's an outrageous passage, isn't it? It's just outrageous. And how do you live this passage in light of the global world we find ourselves in? And it's not just the global world, let's be honest. I mean, you know, we can point the finger at Israel, Gaza, or Ukraine, or whoever. But, you know, like, in the last couple of weeks, I mean, it doesn't happen much, but there was a case in one of our local parishes, actually nameless, where a priest was assaulted recently. You know, and again, that's just, you know, but then there's plenty in Castlecliff Rise. I was talking to another minister of another denomination. He's dealing with, you know, people kind of losing their rag on meth and beating the crap out of their partners. And I mean, all this sort of, excuse my language, but you know, I mean, it's not just the global world, it's our own backyard. And you know, and if we're really honest, you know, Jenny was away last week and she came back and she was tired and I was tired and I'd been looking after the grandchild and she'd been away on a block course and then we had all the kids around and all that. And you know, she comes back and I just act like an idiot. You know, I just act like an idiot. I'm just grumpy. And I'm not grumpy because of her, I'm just grumpy because we're all grumpy. You know what I mean? So it's not just, you know, you point the finger at everybody else, but it's our own lives as well. And we come to this passage, and this passage calls us to something higher. It calls us to compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and to put on love. I want to put this passage, though, in its context. It's really interesting. If you pull up the Bible, you'll find that the few verses before are really interesting because what happens before this is the author then talks about all the equivalent negative things that we should run away from, you know, which is kind of pretty good, obvious. But then he has this point. This is the point. This is the very verse before this. So this is the context. He says, put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And then he makes that statement of the Colossians we read. So the context is this. The context is that when he says about compassion and gentleness and that, he makes a statement before that about our primary allegiance. Our primary allegiance is we are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. We're not Jew or Greek. barbarian, slave or free. Our primary allegiance is God's chosen people. And only if we know our primary allegiance, our primary identity, this passage will say, can we live into those things? So our primary allegiance is not one side or the other on the Waitangi conversation. Our primary allegiance is not one side or other on the Israel-Gaza conversation. It's not one side or the other on the COVID conversation or the climate change conversation or whatever conversation you're on. Whatever ideology, whatever you vote, whether you're Trump or not Trump, Democrat, Republican, whatever. If that is your primary identity or my primary identity, then we've missed the point. Because as followers of Jesus, our primary identity is we are God's chosen people whom we know we are loved. And I feel like we're at a point in history where somehow in God's church we've lost that. And we imbibe the tribalism, parochialism of the world so much in our own very being. Like in the end, those other things, they are secondary to our identity in Christ. And if that is true, if we know we are God's chosen people, and we know that we are loved deeply, then we can be compassionate, kind, humility, gentleness, patience, and all these virtues put on love. But if we choose to have our identity primarily in something else, as our first and foremost identity, that becomes what the Bible would call idolatry. And the Old Testament, constantly prophets are calling us against idolatry. And the consequence of idolatry, so when you give your allegiance to something else, you can give your allegiance to an addiction, you get allegiance to mammon, you give allegiance to whatever cultural group you're part of, you can give your allegiance to whatever ideology you have, you can give your allegiance to whatever, to your career. But when you do that, the consequence of giving your allegiance to something else, once you've given over yourself to idolatry, the consequence in the Old Testament is always oppression. So idolatry leads to oppression. Oppression of some other people. That somehow in that process we lose sight that the other people are made in God's image as well. That they are loved by God. The world is not made for winners and losers, goodies and baddies. Everybody is made in God's image. Everybody in Gaza is made in God's image. Everybody in Israel is made in God's image. Everybody in Russia is made in God's image. Everybody in Ukraine is made in God's image. Everybody is made in the image of God and is loved by God, and everybody Jesus died for. So the world is not winners and losers. The world is beloved people. And when we know our identity, we can choose to live into that. It's interesting, the consequence of the fall, back in the book of Genesis 3, if you go to the consequence of the fall, it talks about being two consequences. First, that shame entered humanity. It literally says they were ashamed because of their nakedness. The consequence of not being who we are in Christ is we feel stink. And when you feel stink, you take that out on other people. That's kind of what happens. When you don't know who you are in Christ and you've lost sight of that, you just take it out on other people. And the other consequence of the fall is blame. She made me eat the apple. Well, that snake made me make him eat the apple. And we live in this culture of blame. They're the ones who got this wrong. It was their fault. Shame and blame are not the world we're meant to live in. And shame and blame will destroy compassion, love, humility, gentleness, and patience. I think what we've forgotten, but sometimes I find that followers of Jesus are the most brutal people. I once heard the story where somebody was talking to an atheist, and they were saying, "So why are you an atheist?" And you know, they said, "I won't have anything to do with the church and things like that." Well, why not? And they said, "Well, you know, because of all the abuse and stuff." They go, "Oh yeah, no, it's horrendous." And they go, "No, you don't understand. It's the way you treat people when they get it wrong. You eat your own." And yeah, I don't want anything to do with people who eat their own. That was his view of the church. He said, we're so brutal. We're so brutal. It's interesting. I think we lost sight of the fact that it says in John, you know, we know John 3:16 really well, you know, for God so loved the world. John 3:17 says, Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save the world. If Jesus came to save the world and not to condemn the world, why are we condemning each other and the world all the whole time? Why aren't we instead being the people who live our lives to say, how can I make this better, not how can I dine out on somebody's mistake? And instead of saying, who's wrong and I'm going to dine out on them, to say, how can I actually make this better? And in the end, this passage, that's called love. Love finds no joy in people getting it wrong. Love finds no joy in being on the right side of history. Love just wants to make the world better. And love wants to recognize that all people are made in God's image and all people are the beloved. Last thing, though. It doesn't mean that I am preaching, and in this passage, preaching some wishy-washy, just feel good and hug people kind of life. And Franco, in your commissioning, we made it really clear. We must be about fighting injustice. The world is full of injustice. And love does mean we fight injustice. But love doesn't mean we fight people. Because Ephesians is really clear. It says this, Ephesians 6. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. It's not against people. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's our challenge. Our challenge is to work out how to fight for justice where we're not fighting people. Because people are not the problem. Principalities and powers are. The ideologies that consume us are. The idolatries are the problem, not the people. And sometimes I think we blur those over as Christians, if that makes sense. So the problem is mammon, it's not people. The problem is people's worship of career, it's not people. People are beloved of God and made in his image. So we must be people who never rest from fighting injustice, who are engaging in principalities and powers and saying, we will not put up with this, but we will love people. And we will always love people because they're made in God's image. Final point I'll make is this. The passage says very strongly this idea that of forgiveness. We've already in the service, Andrew's led us in forgiveness. I just often feel like I find that it's optional for Christians to forgive. I don't know where we got that from. The Lord's Prayer makes it real clear. You know, the Lord's Prayer makes it real clear that, you know, God forgives you as you forgive others. But somehow we kind of think, well, you don't understand, I was hurt. No, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is you were hurt and you forgave. That's the only sort of forgiveness there is. That is the only forgiveness. I once went to a church. I go to a few churches. I once went to this church. And I was jokingly saying, you know, like sometimes I go to these churches and somebody comes up to me and says, oh, this happened in the church 10 years ago. Andrew Carson did this. And I've never been able to take communion ever again from, or whatever, you know what I mean? So I jokingly say this and people laugh. This honestly happened to me. This person came up to me at the end of the service and said, 10 years is nothing. It's been 30 years and still going strong. Honest true story. Honest true story. We don't have the option to not work towards forgiveness. It might take us a while, but it's never an option not to work towards forgiveness. Because the other person is made in God's image and is the beloved of God, and Jesus died for them. And if Jesus can die for them, you can forgive them. It may take time. It may be a process. You may need some therapy. You may need some counseling. You may need to talk to Franco. That's all good. But we can't normalize being a people who don't practice forgiveness. Because I tell you what, the longer I'm around and the more I watch TVNZ news, basically I'm more convinced than ever of the radical power of forgiveness and grace. I can't see any other way this world is put back together but through forgiveness and grace. I can't see any way of balancing up the right and wrongs and working out how to do this other than through radical forgiveness and grace. And just when, you know, here's my saying, you may have heard this, Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, all the king's horses, all the king's men could not put Humpty back together again. That's the world we live in now. The king can! Exactly, because the world cannot put Humpty back together again. Humpty Dumpty lies on the floor, shattered. And everywhere you look, it's shattered. But grace and forgiveness is our message. It's our life. It's our time. We need to be the people who are living that first and foremost. We need to imbibe that. In our fight for justice, our primary weapon, I would say, is forgiveness and grace that disempowers. This is what Jesus' primary weapon was on the cross, forgiveness and grace. So, Franco, this is your charge. Your charge is to be that person who brings compassion, humility, to call us all to do that, to call us all to love, to call us all to remember that we're all made in God's image, that we're all the beloved, that there aren't winners and losers, that we rise together, that Jesus died for every single one of us, and to not allow us to rest till every unjust structure in this city has been pulled down. Not pulling people down, principalities and powers. That's our hope. That's what we commission you for today. In Jesus' name, amen.